Welcome to the Bob and Eric and Rampage Rants Save America show. My name is Bob Dunlap.
My name is Eric Matheny.
And that's Rampage Rant.
That's Rampage. He's going to say it sooner or later. Guys, thank you everyone for tuning in. Please make sure to support our sponsor, MyPillow, MyPillow.com/Bob and Eric. Use promo code Bob and Eric for up to 66% off on your order, your sheets, your towels, your slippers, which I love. They're the best slippers in the world. You get your Giza Dream Sheets are amazing. It's not hype, guys. I swear you're really going to sleep better with it. Obviously, the world famous pillows, towels, all the MyPillow products. Obviously, they have the MyPillow coffee now, which is phenomenal. So make sure to check it out, MyPillow.com/Bob and Eric. Patreon.com/Bob and Eric. Anything you give helps the show keep going, helps us continue to do what it is we do, and we are so blessed to do it. A little bit of bad news. Unfortunately, our little event coming up next week, AmpFest, has been canceled in part due to what's going on down here in Florida. We usually have a large security and first responder turnout. Unfortunately, they are needed elsewhere given the storm that just passed through here. So we wish them well, and we will be rescheduling that event probably around New Year's Eve, and I'll keep you guys updated. Before we get to the storm, Hurricane Ian, which just devastated the west coast of Florida, which is just, for me personally, selfishly speaking, such an important part of my life. I live on the east coast of Florida in Fort Lauderdale. I'm over there all the time. My kids learned how to fish there. My kids learned how to boat there. And unfortunately, they have just been absolutely devastated. So our thoughts and prayers are with the good people of Southwest Florida, Sanibel, Captiva, Fort Myers, Naples, that area, Sarasota, Port Charlotte. We have a phenomenal governor who's doing everything that he can to make sure that this recovery takes place. And God bless our governor. God bless the first responders. I want to touch on one thing that the mainstream media, I mean, Tucker Carlson, Laura Ingraham have talked about it, but very few have, is the Kaylor Ellingson murder. Kaylor Ellingson, North Dakota, 18-year-old, who apparently was part of some conservative group. Doesn't matter what group he's a part of. He was ran over. He was murdered as a result of that. There was some outrage when the police, I think it's in Foster County, North Dakota. The police up there originally arrested the suspect, a guy named Shannon Brandt, 41-year-old Shannon Brandt, with vehicular homicide and leaving the scene of an accident. Now, in North Dakota, vehicular homicide is basically DUI manslaughter. He was intoxicated, killed someone as a result of that with his car, max 20-year sentence. The district attorney up there did the right thing, reviewed the charge, reviewed the evidence, and said, whoa, 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 this is not vehicular homicide. This is murder. This is an intentional act, and his bond has since been, they revoked the bond, and now they have to set a new bond. I don't know in North Dakota what the bond is on murder. Here in Florida, murder is a non-bondable. You have to have a specialized bond hearing to get a bond, if you can, on a murder. I don't know how they do it in North Dakota. I do know that he is now facing a life sentence, but above all things, I got to say, this is why we do what we do. Ladies and gentlemen, this is why we are vocal. This is why we share this information. This is why we talk about these things, because I assure you, had we not been talking about it, Jack Posobiec, had Tucker Carlson not been talking about it and saying, whoa, wait a minute, this kid was clearly murdered for his political views, I don't think they would have done anything about that. I think it's the public's outcry, because remember, these district attorneys, they're elected. They're elected, and they listen to where the political wind is blowing. And I think we get a victory here, obviously a tragedy, a young man being murdered. But as far as justice being served, guys, help me out here. Do you think that the public outrage and the outcry over this is what led to the change of charge?
Ramp. I don't know. I'd like to believe that in North Dakota, they're not that far gone yet, right? That the DAs are not that far gone. That's as somebody that lives in South Dakota, and you see that right up north of you in your sister state, it doesn't compute. I don't think that would happen here in the Black Hills where I live. I think you'd get strung up and you'd get the charges you deserve from the jump. However, it looks to me, there's a possibility that maybe the DA was just waiting on the corner. Maybe the DA was just waiting to get all their ducks in a row before they made a decision. And we on the right, we rightfully so, like you said, if we don't talk about it, it doesn't change. But we are at this point so shell-shocked from the last 5 years of Marxism in this country that I think we're trigger happy a little bit as well. And we are weeping sometimes before there's a reason to leap. Right now, as far as I'm concerned, the DA is doing the right thing. If the guy gets hemmed up on the right charges, goes to prison for the rest of his life, there's no story there. The only story I see there is his cognitive dissonance is what bothered me. The fact that this guy went into a courtroom and he didn't understand why he had to post a bond to begin with. Right. He acted like his home and his mortgage and his family was important, but this kid and their family didn't fucking matter. And so we like, why am I even in trouble? That to me, that's the real problem in this case.
Thank God George Soros didn't fund this DA too.
No, George Soros didn't have a hand in this, but let me explain to everybody how the process works, because I think there's some confusion as to why the charges evolved the way they did. When you're arrested for a felony, the original charging decision in almost all cases comes from law enforcement. There's a crime committed, and police will make that game time decision as to what charges, if any, to file. A felony prosecution has to go to a prosecutor who looks at the charges, who has to take testimony from witnesses, evaluate the evidence. Usually takes about 21 to 30 days from date of arrest to do that. And then they determine what charges, if any, to file. Sometimes the prosecutor looks at the case, goes, there's no case here. And they do what's called a no file, no action, no information, which as a defense attorney, the greatest words I can hear, the case is over in 21 days and you're a big hero. They may do a down file. It may come in as a grand theft and they say, well, we can't really prove the value. We'll file it in county court, will file it in municipal court as a petty theft, and then it's called a bind down. They may look at it and go, okay, the original officer with the information they had at the time, remember, probable cause is a lower standard than proof beyond a reasonable doubt. The prosecutors, when they file, they have to file in good faith that they believe they can bring this charge to a jury and prove it beyond to the exclusion of every reasonable doubt. So their burden of proof is substantially higher than the police. And the police also, you got to remember these, you know, a lot of the times they're making these decisions very quickly. They're moving on. There may not be a tremendous amount of investigation that goes into it. Now, in this case, this is a homicide. This did call for an investigation. They should have called detectives out. I'm sure they did. But to initially make the decision that this is a vehicular homicide after finding out that the defendant mowed this guy down intentionally, because this guy was part of some Republican club or whatever he was. I don't care what club he was part of. I don't care if he was part of the, you know, Students for a Socialist Society or Antifa or BLM or what. You cannot be murdered in this country for your political beliefs. You can be murdered in this country if you're threatening the life of another person to the point where lethal self-defense is justified. But you cannot kill somebody in the United States of America, still as we sit here today, over political views, whatever side of the aisle you're on. And this guy got in his car. I don't care if he was impaired by alcohol. That's not a defense. And he ran the guy down and he murdered him. And the prosecutor did the right thing. Prosecutor evaluated the evidence, looked specifically at the elements that needed to be met, the element of intent. Remember, the difference between a DUI manslaughter and a murder is intent. Manslaughter, you get drunk, you're negligent, you're breaching your duty to carry on as a responsible person, and you kill someone. Of course, you didn't intend to do it, but by being so reckless and negligent, we can formulate a crime based on that. Your actions led to this crime. Murder requires intent, whether it's premeditated murder or whether it's in the heat of passion, difference between first and second degree murder. If you intend to kill and you carry out an act intended to kill and you succeed in that, that's a murder. Kaylor Ellingson's killer, and we can call him that, from what I understand yesterday, was in the jail. I don't know, you know, if any of you are North Dakota attorneys, please fill me in. I don't know if North Dakota has a bond. They set bonds for murders. Usually bonds in murder cases are ridiculously high, $1 million. Here in the state of Florida, murder is a non-bondable offense. If you would have done that in Florida, you'd be sitting in jail until your attorney can have what's called an Arthur hearing. Judge has to hear evidence, and then the judge makes a determination. Most of the time in murder cases, 99% of the time, the judge is going to deny it. Attempted murders, armed robberies, things like that, we can get bonds, you know, 60, 50% of the time, maybe less, 40% maybe. But this is a case where I think the right decision was made. But, you know, look at what's going on. We have that. There was just a guy, a pro-life advocate, was just shot the other day. The FBI was targeting this pastor who all he does is stands outside an abortion clinic and just preaches and just tells people, hey, you have other options. This is all coming after Joe Biden's 1939 Berlin speech. Bob, do you see this as being a pattern of, you know, injecting into the, you know, social discourse that these MAGA Republicans are bad people. So whether it's the FBI targeting them or whether it's citizens targeting other citizens, that a target is on the back of pretty much any conservative in this country right now.
Yeah, I definitely blame Biden for that murder that where he got mowed down. It's just like Germany back in the 30s. You know, the Jews did it. The conservatives did it. We're getting blamed. It's the same playbook, exact same playbook. Instead of Jews, it's conservatives.
Right.
What do you think, Rampage?
I think it's both. There's a shit ton of anti-Semitism going on. There's numerous colleges in the country right now that are that have clubs on campus that are telling Jews that they don't want them around, anti-Jew spaces. So I think you see, I told my wife this yesterday, as a matter of fact, I think in our instance, I think you see an anti-Christianity and an anti-Jewish movement all in one. And I told my wife, you know, the good thing is if you look at the long history, not just back to 1939, Jews and Christians are pretty good at when they have to. So,
well, I just, while you were speaking, Rampage, I just got a phone call from Clay Clark, who's coming to join us in a minute. Guys, if you've ever watched our show before when Clay Clark has been on, it's one of the greatest treats for listeners and the hosts alike, because he is just a wealth of information. We're going to welcome him on in just a moment. But, you know, I have to agree and disagree in part with whether I place blame on Joe Biden. Now, they blame everything and anything on Trump. If Trump were still in office and a hurricane came, they'd blame Trump for climate change. That's why we have a hurricane. I have a problem, just generally speaking, blaming a president for a murder that takes place in North Dakota. Is Joe Biden directly responsible for that? Of course he's not.
Charlottesville, Eric.
What?
They look at what they did to Trump over Charlottesville. Why do you have a problem throwing that back at him?
I disagreed with it then. What I said, Trump had nothing to do with Charlottesville. Absolutely. Biden had nothing directly to do with North Dakota. The difference is Biden has given, he has given a wink and a nod. Okay, well, I'm explaining. He's given a wink and a nod to people that we are the enemy, which he's not outright saying, go get him. Of course, he's not going to do that, but a lot of these people, you got to understand that where we are right now in this country, there's a lot of crazy people out there. There's a lot of crazy in this country right now. And all it takes is some crazy person to hear their president with that visual, the red and the Marines, and like really, you know, looking like a 1939 Berlin speech. And in their head, they're like, the president says that's okay. Look, we have the same problem on the right. We have people on the right who would look at Trump and say, well, he says I should do this when he hasn't done that. So I think that we got to bring the temperature down. If we're going to succeed and we're going to move forward as a country, we got to bring the temperature down where you're not going to have a president using his platform to demonize a substantial portion of the United States, which would be MAGA Republicans. These are Republicans who supported the Trump agenda, whether they still support Trump himself or they're looking at DeSantis or other candidates. The agenda, the idea, remember, MAGA is an idea. It's a movement. It's more than one man. And speaking of one man, one of my favorites, a favorite longtime guest, he's been on here for years and years, Clay Clark, back for like the fifth or sixth time. I lose count, but we are so blessed to have you. Clay Clark, welcome back to Bob and Eric Save America. What is going on?
Hey, thank you guys. I just want to say a big shout out to you guys. I appreciate your professionalism, and I appreciate your relentless pursuit of the truth. I think there's been a sifting that's happened in the last 2-3 years where, you know, for a while it was kind of a fun idea to be a patriot. And then once the persecution began, you began seeing people sort of drift away. And then, you know, last night, I'll just give you an example of how much work we have to do. I was at my son's football game. He's a drummer, so he's drumming for the football team. This is my code for drumming. And he's drumming and doing a great job on the trap set. And a longtime friend I hadn't seen in years, I hadn't seen this guy in probably 10 years, he comes up to me and goes, "What is happening?" And I said, "Well, what do you mean?" And he says, I went to college with this guy. And he goes, and this is a guy who's heavily involved in his church. He goes, I feel like something weird's going on with America. And I go, well, where do you get your news? And I'm trying to be very, you know, positive. I said, where do you get your news? He goes, everybody in Tulsa keeps telling me that you know what's going on. And so we sat there and talked, and this is a Fox News guy. And for like 20 minutes in a row, his face was like, I mean, it was wild. And again, I always forget there's so many people that have no clue of what's going on because they're dialed as a conservative on the TV or whatever that is. They go from they do this. They go from ESPN to Fox News, from ESPN to Fox News, and that's what they do. And there's an ESPN Fox News Republican out there that still does not know what's going on.
Absolutely.
So when you're approached and when people come up and tell you that, and I think you're one of the foremost social commentators we have, and you have your finger on the pulse of what's going on. What is going on? What is going on in this country right now?
Well, last night, this is how I started. I said, did you know that the models that said that 2.2 million Americans would die from COVID were false? And he's like, no. I said, okay. Do you know that Klaus Schwab wrote a book on COVID-19 called The Great Reset? And he goes, who's Klaus Schwab? And I'm going, okay. So, we had 5 minutes. We started, then it had a bunch of questions, but I said, well, basically this is how it goes. Okay. The models that said that 2.2 million Americans would die from COVID, those models were false. The polymerase chain reaction test they want us to take to see if we have COVID, those are falsely calibrated. COVID's treatable with ivermectin. The system and method for testing for COVID-19 was patented in 2015. Okay. And Moderna was working on a COVID-19 vaccine before COVID-19. And he's like, what? I said, just go to timetofreeamerica.com/revelation. So I told him, just go there, timetofreeamerica.com. So I sent him the link. I texted to him right there, timetofreeamerica.com/revelation. And he goes, so what's going on then? And I said, well, you have to look at it. There's a two-prong war. There's multiple things, but there's two main areas we got to look at. BRICS, which is Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa. That's Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa. They, Saudi Arabia as well, and Venezuela and many other countries are teaming up to de-dollarize the world. So they're moving away from the U.S. currency. They already began trading in that. And America's had its strength because since 1974, we've had the petrodollar. And for the first time since 1944, something other than the U.S. dollar is called a tier one asset. So just so everybody out there gets this, a tier one asset, according to the Bank of International Settlements, which is not a good organization, but the Bank of International Settlements is like the central bank of central banks, okay? They're like the big kahuna. They have always said the U.S. dollar is the top tier asset in the world, all right? And they just upgraded a couple years back now. They quietly did this. They upgraded gold to be a tier one asset. So what that means is now gold and the dollar have the same value in the world standard. And so quietly, Turkey, Russia, China, and it's gotten more loud, but you have Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, Turkey, they've begun buying up the world's gold. And so Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, that consists of 41% of the Earth's population, 41%. And the other countries that are now joining, that consists of over half the world's population. So basically, 70% of the Earth's population is about ready to announce they no longer see a value to trade using U.S. dollars. And Russia and China started trading oil recently, no longer using dollars. So he's from an accounting background. You know, that's what he does for a living. And he goes, oh, no. And I'm like, oh, yeah, they're going to de-dollarize. So I explained that to him. And then the second area, as I said, it's all called the transhumanism agenda. So they want to say, in order to participate in this new system they have, and by the way, it's called Executive Order 14067, Executive Order 14067, that's the executive order signed by Biden. In order to participate into this new central bank digital currency, you're going to have to put the RNA modifying nanotechnology in your body. So de-dollarize the world. And then force you, if you want to participate in the new economy, to put this technology in your body. And then he started saying to me, that sounds like the mark of the beast. And I go, boom, Revelation 13, verse 16 through 18. And then it led into other stuff. And then it was a very positive conversation, but it went really positive. I mean, it could have gone weird, but it went really positive. And a few other guys who are about our age, you know, 40s-ish, they have kids in school. They started gathering and go, what are you guys talking about? And I bet, last night we woke up probably a dozen dudes right there at the football game.
Nice.
Who otherwise wouldn't have known this. I mean, that's what I'm always telling people is you got to arm yourself with information because never miss an opportunity to inform somebody. I mean, low information is the pandemic in this country. It's apathy. It's people that think they understand, but they get their information in little tidbits. So it's incumbent upon us, and especially as conservatives, because we're so used to having to arm ourselves with information because we're always on the defensive. If you're a liberal, you get a pass. Oh, you're liberal. But yeah, you don't explain your position. We understand it. You're on the team. If you're conservative, how many times a week, a day, do you have to explain to somebody, well, how can you support that man? How can you do this?
One thing I want to throw out, and I someone have to pray for my soul on this, okay? But I was not a Christian until, you know, my son was born blind in 2007. I just wasn't. I rejected it. I'm not saying this is proper theology, but this is what I did. I looked up to pastors. The pastor of the church we went to had an affair with a babysitter who's like 18, and he's like 40, and I was like, ah, these pastors are fake. I went to a different church. That pastor came out and said, he told me during lunch, a mega pastor, one of the biggest churches in America. I went out to lunch with him and he said, I just want you to know, I don't actually believe in God. And I'm going, what?
Wow.
His life was made into a Netflix documentary. Yeah, it's a Netflix documentary called Any Given Sunday. It's a Netflix documentary about Carlton Pearson. You can watch it. And he actually said, I don't believe in Jesus. And I thought, well, that's crazy. Then I went to the third church. The third church was massive, and the guitarist sounded like Dave Matthews. And people would line up, and they were like, man, I could feel the spirit moving. This guy, you know. Well, I met the musician. I met people around him, and the people who knew him said, he's an atheist. He just wanted a gig, you know. And so you see that. So it kind of demoralized me, and I ran away from God. But as I've read the Bible and I've really pressed into myself, it's given me eyes to see what's going on right now. What state do you guys broadcast from? What state are you guys in?
Florida, North Carolina, South Dakota.
Okay. So like for me, you know, I was a self-promoting DJ. That's what you do as a disc jockey. I mean, no one wakes up with a burning desire to pay you. I grew up poor. And I was a self-promoting DJ. So I had to call up clubs and convince them to hire me. And then the club would say, sure, we'll hire you for $100, but you get a percentage of the door. So then I had to run around all week promoting the club on a Thursday, and I had to promote the club on a Friday. And I started my own dance parties. That's how I paid my way through college. So the idea of not getting information out or trying to be super humble is something I've had to learn because it's not natural for me. I grew up poor, and I'm like, I am not going to be poor. And nobody's going to beat the drum. You know, no one's going to toot my own horn, or no one's going to toot my horn. So I'm going to toot my own horn. So I kind of grew, I learned that. I'm not encouraging people to look to Jay-Z for your wisdom or Notorious B.I.G., but that's kind of more of the mindset I had, was like, I got to self-promote and get the information out there. And certain people would tell me as an 18 or 19 year old, quit talking about your business. No one wants to hear. But at a certain point, the pendulum shifted. And everybody was hiring me, and we would do 4,000 events a year. So let's go back to patriotism. There is a lot of us that have been beaten down and have learned that the liberal can say,
ladies and gentlemen, before we do today's national anthem, we want to remind people we respectfully respect all differences. And so you do not need to take off your hat and stand for the flag. And you do not need to pray if you choose.
And they say that kind of crap now before most games, most sporting events. If you watch the Super Bowl, it's like
our Super Bowl halftime show provided by sponsored by LBTGQ. And, you know, and it's just in your face.
And Christians are like, you know, Carol, I feel like that was offensive. And Carol goes, shh, we have somebody here who's a liberal. They might get offended. We've got to change the narrative where we go from the silent majority to the outspoken majority now. And I'm telling you, to encourage you guys today, I was in Target. I have a local grocery store I normally go to. They didn't have avocados, so I go into Target. And I ran into five people that I did not know who came up to me, and they said, I appreciate what you're doing. And that's the first time that's happened to me in 2.5, 3 years of doing this, you know, where, I mean, I never have that happen. And then, it's starting to happen to me more and more. So I just want to encourage everybody out there, keep pressing, keep pushing, keep sharing the truth, because there's so many people that are unaware of what's going on. Like the guy I ran into at the game last night.
Nice.
No, you're absolutely right, and that really is an epidemic in this country of people not being informed and not being, you know, kept in the loop as to what's going on. One thing we're looking at right now is the real possibility of a global war with Russia. And after we have, you know, the Nord Stream pipeline, you know, an act of sabotage, who knows how it happened? But and now Ukraine, you know, petitioning to get into NATO. I just see, like, if you go study your history, like study World War I, World War II, like the gears towards global conflict are in motion. emotion. How does that tie into everything that we've seen the last couple of years, and how does it tie into the Great Reset?
Well, to quote the Beastie Boys, they said, "I can't stand it. I know you planned it." Right. All right, I'm just going to create this Watergate. Okay, so what's happening is Joe Biden, he actually gave a talk February 7th of 2022. I say a talk. I mean, we have to learn Biden the language. You have to kind of understand what he say. But let me hit play here. This is Joe Biden talking. Here we go.
Let me answer the first question first. If Germany, if...
Let me answer the first question first.
Russia invades. That means tanks or troops crossing the border of Ukraine again. Then... There will be no longer a Nord Stream 2. We will.
How will you do that exactly? Since the project and control of the project is within Germany's control.
We will. I promise you.
So again, I mean, he said it. Now let's think about who the likely suspects would be. Couldn't Russia just go and turn off their own, or maybe wouldn't it make sense to turn off their pipeline? Okay, so you have that going on. Now Russia, and I'm not like a pro Putin guy, like I'm not gonna wear a Putin shirt. However, it'd be interesting if you did see like a I'm just saying, I'm gonna be clear on this because some people are like they have issues with Putin. I just want to be very objective on this. I'm not gonna wear a Putin Trump t-shirt or anything, you know, but I want to point this out. Putin did a talk 48 hours ago where he said he wants to remove the Satanists from Russia. He says he's the Western, he wants to remove the Western culture, the Satanists. And he starts talking about the transgender movement and how he has a problem with that coming after Russian values. So Putin, if we remember, he was a young global leader underneath the World Economic Forum. And at some point, I think he said, that got kind of weird. I'm not sure when and how that happened, but I'm sure he said, okay, got a little weird. So Putin decided to distance himself from Schwab and the World Economic Forum. Then the financial corruption of the Bidens and the Clintons, and it all runs through Ukraine. All right. So Putin, for his own self-preservation, this is my take, for his own self-preservation, I believe he went into Ukraine and says, listen, I'm done with you guys. Now, yesterday or 48 hours ago, he annexed officially portions of Ukraine. And the guys brought their hands in together, and they're all going, Russia, Russia, Russia. It was like a pregame hype festival for a football team. And they're like, Russia, Russia. So that happened. And that was after, this is all within a 72-hour window of time. So the Nord Stream 2 pipeline stops working. Okay, it stops working, and there's three explosions that occur. And this is after Joe Biden hinted that he might do this in the event that Russia invades Ukraine. So then Putin's response to it, his first official response was, I'm going to annex these four particular regions. And then he decides to call up his military. He's bringing in more and more military. And he is, I would say, tripling down, confirming he's all in for Russia. So I see that happening. Okay, that's happening right now. Also, you have, and this is, I'm just going to try to give people specific facts that you can look up right now. Putin and Russia have decided they're basically going to be ditching the dollar. All right. So that as of September 7th, let me play this for you. This is September 7th. This would be reported on WION. It's called Gravitas out of India.
The right deal is just one part of the problem. Equally important is how to pay for it. Most of the global trade is done in one currency, the US dollar. But Russia and China are looking to break the dollar's dominance. They want to de-dollarize their economies. How exactly does that work? The first step is usually trade. Right now, all imports and exports are priced in dollars. Oil, gas, cars, clothes, each and every product is pegged to the US dollar. Russia and China are hoping to change that. They want to trade in their own currencies, the yuan and the ruble.
Okay, so again, you have this going on. So Putin is working to de-dollarize the world. That's what's happening. He's also saying, I'm not backing down, and he's bringing up more military. He's calling up more military. So I personally believe that again, these are just statements that Biden's made. Biden said during a 60 Minutes interview that he would deploy troops to defend Taiwan versus China. He made the statement. We've got Putin who said he's willing to use nuclear weapons if need be. Russia and China are teaming up together to de-dollarize the U.S. currency. So I believe that we are headed towards a war. And I do believe, and again, this is a fact, Joe Biden was the keynote speaker at the World Economic Forum in 2016. He was a keynote speaker at the World Economic Forum in 2016. And he talked about the fourth industrial revolution, a.k.a. the Great Reset. So in order to implement the Great Reset, there needs to be a catastrophic event that occurs. There needs to be something terrible that happens for the world to give up its sovereignty and to move into a one world leader sort of thing. And so that's what's occurring right now, is you're seeing Biden is following exactly the path he's supposed to follow as part of the World Economic Forum. So, or the people handling him. So I'm just telling you, I believe we are headed into a warlike scenario. Now, this is Yuval Noah Harari, who's the top advisor for Klaus Schwab. This is Yuval Noah Harari. And I want people to listen to what he says here. This is wild.
But when you have a lose-lose situation, like with climate change, it's much more difficult without some overarching authority, real authority. Now, how to get there and how would it look like? I don't know. And certainly there is no obvious reason to think that it would look like Denmark or that it would be a democracy. Most likely it wouldn't. We don't have workable democratic models for a global government. So maybe it would look more like ancient China than like modern Denmark. But still, given the dangers that we are facing, I think the imperative of having some kind of real ability to force through difficult decisions on the global level is more important than almost anything else.
This is a mind right here that thinks pretty much like no one else on the planet, I would hasten to say. But I'm serious. What are humans for?
As far as we know, for nothing. I mean, there is... There is no great cosmic drama, some great cosmic plan that we have a role to play in it. And we just need to discover what our role is and then play it to the best of our ability. This has been the story of all religions and ideologies and so forth. But as a scientist, the best I can say, this is not true. There is no universal drama with a role in it for Homo sapiens.
And here's the follow-up, which I think is being published in the U.S. next week.
And he's talking about, he continues to talk about how he wants to usher us into this period of time called the Anthropocene. Now, the Anthropocene, there's a documentary everyone can watch right now if you go to YouTube and type in Anthropocene, everybody. Anthropo, it's A-N-T-H-R-O. It stands for human-controlled genes. So Anthropocene, Anthropocene. The documentary, just to be clear, it's on YouTube on the VPro documentary channel. And this is Yuval Noah Harari explaining the future of humanity. Okay, listen to this.
You have a small elite that pushes things in its own interests, even if it doesn't benefit the vast majority of the population. This has happened so many times previously in history, and it's probably going to happen again. One of the biggest dangers to the planet today is this technological utopia, because probably for the elite it will work. When it comes to work, when the flood comes, the scientists will build a Noah's Ark for the elite, leaving the rest to drown.
So, I mean, these people are literally wanting to cause some sort of conflict. That's the plan. So you're seeing it happen. I mean, I hope it doesn't happen, but I mean, you're seeing it happen right now. They're trying to create some sort of warlike event right now that would occur between the United States, Russia, and China simultaneously.
And how would that play out? Because, you know, we haven't seen a world war since the 1940s. In terms of modern warfare, what does a world war look like? It's not massive armies meeting on a beach. Certainly the landscape and rampage, you could fill in, you know, a lot more because you have military experience. What does a 21st century global conflict look like?
I think it looks like a lot of what you're in right now, right? You have mass censorship all over, not just the United States, throughout the globe. So, I mean, I'm going to go back and refer to some of the stuff Tim Pool talks about, right? He calls this fifth dimensional warfare. I believe that leads to something, if this were to come to pass, that does go back to a conventional war. It doesn't take a lot to knock out 21st century technology. It takes an EMP, it takes a blast, and you're back right. you're back in the ancient times, right? You're back in the dark. I believe you're wrong. I believe if this did pop off, this would be a conventional war. It would become a conventional war. I believe that China and their proxies would probably attempt to invade the weakened, financially weakened, morally weakened, religiously weakened United States, and they would have a large contingency of people in this country that are okay with that, that would welcome them in with open arms, especially mm-hmm. along the entirety of our West Coast, and they would not be pushed out. I mean, look, man, I'll tell you like this: Red Dawn. Ironically, I have watched the new Red Dawn and I've watched the old Red Dawn again in the last month. And I'm sorry to tell you, it may not be Cuba together with Russia, but what you're looking at, if this were to come to pass, is you're looking at China, you're looking at Russia, you're looking at North Korea, possibly just like in the new Red Dawn movie, with help financially and equipment wise from Russia or China. And you're looking at a large populace of the United States that would not look at them as invaders, would actually be able to be convinced that they were here to liberate the United States.
Now, let me ask you this. Have you seen the new Red Dawn? How does it compare to the old one? Do you like the new one better or the old one?
I think that there's more reality in the new one because you're looking at the actual powers as they be today.
Yeah.
And the main character in the new one had military experience, as to where in the first one, he was just a good old boy. Patrick Swayze was a hillbilly redneck that had no military experience. I see the new one as being the more realistic of the two, as far as what you would face now. Right. And I do not believe, I want to say this right now, anyone would be successful taking over the United States purely because of the American citizen and how many firearms, how many veterans that are out there still ready, willing, and able to, without government assistance, do what they need to do to push back.
Now, I will say this, too, just to your point. I just sent a private link to you so you can see this here. But China has opened up police stations in the U.S.
Yep. I made videos, and that's why I'm on this show. I used to make some pretty popular videos on Twitter before I had 45 accounts blasted away. And in 2020, before I moved and left Washington State, I put out a video that showed literally people videotaping Chinese troops on the ground in British Columbia. There have been Chinese troops. They were in these private homes. These are the same things that they're using right now at police stations in Canada, being
And I wanted to point out this too. I sent two videos to you guys in the private chat. Maybe you guys can share them later. But if you look at the artwork in the Denver Airport, in the St. John the Divine Cathedral, if you look at the Georgia Guidestones, which now have ceased to exist, and you look at the Bohemian Grove and the artwork in the Bank of America building in Charlotte, which I sent you a video on that so you guys can see it, all of it is like a perverse, satanic, depopulation, prophetic series of imagery that is it's coming together, and it's disturbing, and we're living through it right now. And I just want to give people a little bit of context before you have to hang up on me. If you're out there today and you're saying, I don't know what's happening, and I want to kind of have more of a divine or a God perspective to it, I'm going to give you some Bible verses. I'm going to rattle them off real quick to look this up. Okay. And I'm not asking you to go to a church and find a pastor that'll talk to you about it, because I struggle to find pastors that'll talk about this stuff. But Revelation 16:12 mentions that before God comes back, the Euphrates River has to dry up. Everybody read that. Revelation chapter 16, read it. You'll see it. And by the way, the Euphrates River's dried up. Pretty about there, that doesn't know this, Revelation chapter 13, verse 16 through 18 discusses the mark of the beast, and it tells you what number to look for. and that matches the Bill Gates patent, W02020060606. If you read Matthew chapter 24, the disciples, they want to know, hey, Jesus, how do we know when you're coming back? He tells them, and you're seeing these things occur. The World Economic Forum, which is helping to drive all of this, their logo is 666, and they're located 6.66 miles away from CERN, and CERN invented the World Wide Web, which is in Hebrew, W is 6, so WWW is 666, and CERN, their logo is 666, and they're located on top of the former Temple of Apollo, which is Revelation 9:11. And CERN is actually trying to right now recreate the God gene. That's a real thing. They're trying to isolate the God gene and recreate the Big Bang. The Google Chrome logo that everybody seems to be obsessed with using is Google. Their logo is 666. The legislation that would force you to take the shots is called HR 6666. Iran, Turkey, and Russia right now are cementing ties, which would fulfill Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 1 through 6. The red heifers were just delivered to Israel. The interim prime minister of Israel is calling for a two-state solution for Israel. I mean, it's all coming together biblically. And so my calls to action would be the following three things. One, we'd love to have you at the Reawaken America Tour. We have two events left. I do not make any money on these. I do not take any income from these. Everybody who speaks at these events takes a lot of hits. And we do this because we want to share the truth at scale. And so if you come to Pennsylvania in October, or our final event is November in Branson, you can name your price. You can always name your price. The mainstream media doesn't like it, but you can name your price. In fact, the mainstream media did an investigative article recently where they actually went through the hassle of meeting people at our event and saying, how much did you pay for your ticket? How much did you pay for your ticket? And they went through and did that all day. And then they called all the vendors and got the vendors to provide them receipts of what they were paid, you know, like the sound company and the porta potties and the staging companies. And the mainstream media reporter calls me and says, after doing my research, it's occurred to me that you are losing a lot of money at these. And I said, that's very true. Yeah. And he says, well, so what's your payoff? Who's paying you at the end? And I'm like, we're trying to save our country. So if you want to see Peter Navarro, Cash Patel, General Flynn, Eric Trump, Don Jr., the people that are close to Trump, they're going to be there. If you want to see the doctors that know what's going on with the transhumanism agenda, they're going to be there. You want to see Jim Brewer expose deep state Hollywood while laughing a little bit, you can come see that. Dr. Mikovits will be there. Dr. Rashid Batar will be there. Sean Foyt will be there. It's a great event. So you guys can get those tickets at timetofreeamerica.com. Timetofreeamerica.com. We have 1,400 tickets left for Pennsylvania and just under 1,000 left now for Branson. So we're almost sold out for our final two events. It's a two-day event. Doors open at 6 a.m., kicks off about 8:30, and we go until 7 p.m. each night. Second thing is, if you want to download this book, it's free tonight. You can download The Great Reset versus The Great Reawakening, and you can download this. All the patents are in there. All of the patents, so you can see there, The Great Reset Plan. You can download it for free at timetofreeamerica.com. There's also a documentary of the same title at timetofreeamerica.com. And finally, if you're looking for jobs that do not require the shots, that do not require the RNA-modifying nanotechnology COVID-19 shots, or you're looking for a COVID-19 vaccine religious exemption, you can also find that at timetofreeamerica.com. And again, I thank you guys so much, because if it wasn't for what you're doing, people would have no idea about what's going on. And I'm just now, again, this is anecdotal now, but I'm just now starting to run into more and more people in my own life that are going, wait a minute, something's up. And it's going to be easy for us to want to say, I'm just telling you, my initial reaction is like, are you kidding me? However, we all woke up at different times, and we've got to help wake these people up in a kind way and use facts, because a lot of people have no idea what's going on.
Nice. True. Clay Clark, one of our favorite guests. Thank you so much for coming on, guys. Please support Clay Clark. Go to the events if you can. Buy the literature. Well, you don't even buy the literature. Download the literature. Clay's not making any money. The payoff is the knowledge of knowing that you are freeing America and saving us and teaching so many people. Thank you, Clay Clark, and we will have you on again soon.
Hey, if you guys want to come to any of the final events, I'll get you backstage passes. Make sure you get some great interviews. Open invitation. I appreciate you guys. Thank you very much.
Beautiful. Thank you, Clay.
Bye-bye.
All right, guys, as we wrap up, any parting words, thoughts, snide remarks? Bob?
That was a lot, man. That doesn't make me feel any better.
Well, you know, that's not his job. His job is not to make us feel warm and fuzzy, but you got to understand that he lives this day in and day out. And he's the real deal, guys. He doesn't make money off of this. He does this because he truly has an abiding sense of patriotism, and he wants to convey this knowledge. Remember, everything that Clay is saying now You know, they were laughing at him and calling him a conspiracy theorist 2 years ago. It's all coming to fruition. And it's like this slow leak of information where every conspiracy theorist in March of 2020 is going, whoa, wait a minute, something's going on here. You know, now we're being vindicated. I think one of the greatest vindications being is that we didn't fall for this vaccine. And yeah. You know, it seems like every other day there's someone going, I had my fourth booster and I just got COVID, but thank God it could have been a lot worse. Well, I've never been boosted, vaxxed, and I feel great, as do a lot of people. And the numbers have come out and we realize, by and large, what a tremendous sham this COVID was. My question for you, and I got to throw it in here. So as we come into the 2024 presidential election, Donald Trump is probably going to have some primary contenders. Do you think COVID is going to be what they attack him on?
Rip.
Page, what do you think?
I think that it depends on who's on the stage. It depends on, do you get a Liz Cheney up there? If so, and they give her airtime, which you know they will. Of course, right? But if you get a Ron DeSantis up there, no, I don't think so.
You don't think he would go after him, say, why didn't you fire Fauci? Why did you defer to him? Why did you? I think DeSantis would do that. I don't think
asking questions that pertain to something that does still need to be answered. We've all said this on the show. He owes us some answers, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not a Donald Trump cultist. He didn't make every decision right. He made a lot of mistakes, and we're paying for a lot of those mistakes right now with the people running the FBI. Christopher Wray is one of these mistakes, right? So at the end of the day, he's not perfect. And if I'm going to vote for Donald Trump again, I need for him to fucking humble himself enough to sit down with somebody and answer some fucking tough questions of his own that aren't attacks, but are real questions. You know, why did you do this? Why didn't you do this? And just answer them. And, you know, it's okay to make mistakes, right? It's okay. You didn't know. Nobody else knew any better what was happening either. And then we need to keep that forefront, or as the press secretary of the White House would say, of top of mind. We need to keep this of top of mind that Donald Trump didn't know any more than anyone else in the United States besides the people like Anthony Fauci that helped usher in COVID and bring it upon us. So at the end of the day, whether they attack him on it or not, all that Donald Trump really does have to do is stand back and say, what would you have done? And they're going to, that will shut them down, because anything that they hypothesize they would have done, they actually have to hypothesize having done it without knowing shit.
No, so. And you're right about that. You mean, hindsight's always 20/20, and everyone's like, had I been there, I would have done it. First of all, we didn't know then what we know now. Right. And even DeSantis, who was among the freest governors, I guess you could say, at the time of COVID, we even had a period of shutdown here in Florida, everyone except South Dakota. So technically, Kristi Noem actually did it the best. DeSantis That's just right. gets all the credit for it. But he's doing a hell of a job right now. I think he's doing a great job with cleanup from Ian. Man, what a storm, what a mess. They are going to try to politicize the tragedy. They're going to call DeSantis a socialist if he accepts any FEMA money. Look, that's what FEMA's for. We have people in Florida who are dying. We have people in Florida who have lost everything, and they're going to need help, and they're going to need help. And nobody's saying, I think people misinterpret, people take things as such extremes. I mean, if you want to be like a purist on socialism, well, technically, a road is socialism. Technically, a police department is socialism. The government has a role. We all admit to that. We don't want to have anarchy. We don't want to have every man for himself. The government has a role. It's just a limited role. That's all. So these memes that you're seeing out there, like, hey, DeSantis is loving socialism. Now, having a federal fund that helps states when there's a disaster is not socialism. That's the role of government, what we expect government to do. That's why we pay our taxes. So just disregard those arguments being made. They're foolish. But God bless everybody in Southwest Florida and anyone who's been impacted by this horrific storm. Go out there, look for ways to give. The Red Cross organizations, watch out for scams, watch out for GoFundMe and things like that.
Scammers. We got to hit on that.
Yeah, be careful with that. I would give directly to the charities. I would probably stay away from like the GoFundMes and things like that, unless you personally know the people that are behind it. I wouldn't go, like, if you see something on your Facebook feed, GoFundMe, you could be, giving some guy in Russia money.
There's scammers right now going door to door in the impacted area to homes that still exist and are damaged, trying to get people to sign away their homeowners insurance policies for cash money. So that's more what I'm referring to is if you know anybody that was affected in the area, and they call you and they say, hey, somebody just showed up at my door and they're offering me cash money for my, for my insurance policy, and I can get money now and not wait on FEMA and this and all this, that warn them away. These are scams. These are people that are looking to take advantage of people that are going through the worst experiences of their lives. And so if you do know anybody that lives down there, let them know that these scams are taking place, that there's door-to-door scammers trying to con you out of your ability to use FEMA. And so to be very careful.
Absolutely, guys. Well, thank you, everybody. Next week, Deanna Lorraine's coming. I was just on her show 2 weeks ago. She's a good friend. She's great. So she's going to come on for the 8th. And unfortunately, like I said in the beginning, we are not having AmpFest due to everything going on in Florida. That's got to be postponed. I will keep you updated when that's going to be rescheduled. Bob and Eric, Save America could not be here without the support of our sponsor, MyPillow. So please be sure to hit up MyPillow.com/Bob and Eric. Bob and Eric promo code for up to 66% off. And with that, have a great weekend. Enjoy yourself. I feel, just personally speaking, you ever have a weekend that you feel is earned? You're just like that Friday night where you're just laying down going, I am beat. And I really, at this point in my life, so savor my weekends. And this is just such a highlight of it, being able to do this, go get some fishing done, go, you know, ride my bike, go just enjoy life here in the beautiful state of Florida. So thank you for everything. And thank you for tuning in. And you guys have a great week. We'll see you next Saturday.
God bless.
Boom.